Mark chapter 14. The verses that allocated to me, chapter 14, verses 22 to 42. 22 to 42. So I want to start with a simple question. What do you think is the most needed thing in the world? Most needed?
Jesus.
Okay. Anything else? Thank you.
Water.
Oh, this is water. Very good. Water. Yes. That's a. Thank you. Sunlight. Okay. Yeah, the way we look at, right, the context. Okay. Definitely, as brother mentioned, Jesus is the most important person in the world, and everybody needs, as sister mentioned, water. And I remember back in California when they released iPad. Okay. So when I asked this question in the church, everybody said, iPad is the most needed thing. So it depends from where, his family can say, music is the most important, most needed. So like that, so let's turn to Mark 14. And here we see very, very interesting how the Lord teaches us the eternal things, the spiritual things, using the elements, the physical elements. So here, there are three portions. One is about the Lord's Supper. It's very close to our heart, especially as an assembly. We come every Sunday remembering the Lord. It's a very well-known subject to all of us. And the next one is Peter's denial. Peter says, I won't deny you, but he denies. And the third one is a prayer, Jesus' prayer at Gethsemane. So these three are very important aspects for our Christian life. So let's look at the Lord's Supper, the teaching on the Lord's Supper, the incident here, Jesus Christ, how he institutes the Lord's Supper. Verse 22, and as they were eating, he took bread, and after blessing it, broke it and gave it to them, and said, take, this is my body. And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank of it. And he said to them, this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. Truly I say to you, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God. 26. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. So this is about instituting, Jesus Christ instituting the bread, the Last Supper, the bread and wine. So which is a very key aspect. It is so unique in the entire religions or philosophy that no one has instituted something like this. If you really navigate through so many religions that we have, and the philosophies, the stories, no one has instituted. It's so unique. It's a so unique institution that Lord has done. And we see here, he has taken, what are the things? Two things. One is bread and another is wine. Bread and wine, which are so critical for human lives. So when we see the entire world, the population, and when we search the internet, there is so much technology is growing, so many advancements are growing, but there are countries are there where there is no proper food, where there is no proper water. So I remember back in the early 2000, when I was south India, we used to bring water in big containers. Early 2000s itself. And now we hear this year, they don't have water. It's completely dry. And if it continues another 10, 20 years, so many states, they will not have water. It looks very, very simple thing, but our very core necessity for our human beings is everyday food and water. Food, drink. Food, drink. We can live even without having a shelter. We can live under the trees. We can construct something. But food and drink, it is so basic necessities for our lives. And our loving God takes these elements and teaches us the importance of who God is. The importance of His life in our lives. The importance of God, the being of God in our lives through these simple elements. So when we look at many churches, I touched this now and then during worship time. Many churches, the aspect of Lord's Supper is very minimized. The importance is very minimized. Look at the verse 26. It says, and when they had sung a hymn, there are songs are there are worship songs, there are big technology, using technology. But when it comes to simple emblems, so many churches lack in this. Okay. But we are here by God's grace. It's a privilege for us, right? Every Sunday coming and remembering Him. We should take it as a privilege, and with the humility, we have to observe this. So there is no chance for us to take pride in this, that our assemblies does like this. But it's a privilege. It's a drawing closer to God. And here, the two things that Jesus Christ has taken. One is bread, symbolizing the food. And second one is drink, the wine. Let's turn to John chapter 6. John chapter 6. What is it mentioned about food? In John chapter 6, 27, verse 27. Let me read for you. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you, for on Him God the Father has set His seal. Then they said to Him, what must we do to be doing the works of God? Jesus answered them, this is the work of God, that you believe in Him whom He has sent. So they said to Him, then what sign do you do that we may see and believe you? What work do you perform? Look at this. This is a conversation between Jews and Jesus Christ. The entire Jewish philosophy, I would say, is surrounding this mystery of bread and wine. And we see here, they're talking about what is that, the miracle that you can perform. And we see in verse 31, our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Jesus then said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. So the true bread, it's all about what is the true bread from heaven. It is the scenario of Moses walking, taking them through the wilderness. What do they need? They need food. They need water. And how God provided those things to them. And we see here in this verse, truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. And verse 33, for the bread of God is He who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. He is the bread of life. Jesus Christ is the bread of life. That means without having food, how we cannot live? Without having Jesus, we cannot live in this world. So that's about the bread. Next one we'll see in John 4:13. It's about Samaritan woman, in the context of Samaritan woman, John 4:13. Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." It's about eternal life. See, when we eat this food, when we drink this physical, we have the life, but what God is giving to us is an eternal life. How can we live this eternal life? Is the secret is mentioned in Jesus Christ when he instituted this Lord's Supper. It's a very well-known topic for all of us, but it's very good to think about this. And we see here, first, he took the bread, and after that, he broke it. And next, he took the cup, then he had given thanks, he gave it to them and asked them to drink. So first the bread, then the cup. So whether you have observed or not, I'll show you one interesting fact. Let's turn to Luke. How is it mentioned there? In the Luke chapter 22, verse 14. "And when the hour came, he reclined at table and the apostles with him, and he said to them, 'I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God.'" Verse 17. "And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he said, 'Take this and divide it among yourself. For I tell you that from now on, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes.' And he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave to them." So what is the difference? Can anyone observe this? What is the difference in the mark? Yes? One before the bread, one after the bread. Anything? So, as brother mentioned, first there is a cup here and then there is a bread. So there was something happened back in California in Grace Bible Chapel. One brother got up during the breaking of bread and he prayed for the cup. First he prayed for the cup. Then everybody was thinking, especially coming from India, it's more strict fashion, right? We want this then. So then another brother got up and prayed for bread and then read that chapter from Luke. Okay. So it's not about what is first and what is second, but it is about the content. It is about the meaning behind it. What is the purpose behind it? Okay. It's about Jesus Christ who gave his life. And we see that in Mark 14. He says, "It is poured out for many. Not only that, it's a blood of the covenant." It's about covenant. It's about the covenant that God has made us through Jesus Christ. Especially here, he's telling, it's my covenant. And it's very interesting to see this word covenant. There are two words that are in Greek. One is, I was going through this very fascinating difference I have seen. One is daitheke. D-I-A-T-H-E-K-E. It says an agreement made by one person for others. Okay. the covenant is, there are two persons involved in a covenant, and the word that is used is an agreement made by not two, but why one person? An agreement made by one person for others. So there is another word, it's a syntheke, means agreement that two parties made in which both had obligation to each other. Did you observe, understand these two? One is a covenant where one person makes, one person for others, and there is another type of covenant where two people make between each other. And here the word is used, it's a daitheke, means an agreement made by one person, our Lord Jesus Christ, for others. He says, it's a blood of covenant. What type of covenant? It's a blood. It's a blood of covenant. Looking back in the Abraham's life, God makes covenants continuously in Abraham's lives. Okay. And there was a situation where he asked him to bring different types of animals. All the animals were killed and they were like separated. And the covenant is, person walks in between those when you separate the animal. Okay. Both of them walk. And if anyone misses that covenant, what is the meaning is, they have to shed their blood. They have to give their life. It's a covenant for life. And we see here, Jesus is mentioning, it's a blood of covenant. I am going to shed my blood for you, for many. So that's the reason it is a very important aspect. Coming and remembering him, participating in this. This is very important as Christians, as we grow in our spiritual lives, as we come together, as we think about his body and his blood. And also, as we do this, there are so many things happen here. When we see here, the entire our human life, physical, our mental aspects, our spiritual aspects, all are met here. He's talking about having life, food and drink. Not only that, he says, do this in remembrance of me. As you remember, what happens? Our minds transform. That's what we read in Romans 12. Let me read that verse once again for you. Chapter 12. Romans. Romans 12. It says here, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Spiritual worship. And not only that, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. So how can our minds be renewed? Is by remembering our Lord. As we participate every week, as we separate our time, as we participate, our minds are renewed. There is a beautiful verse in Philippians. It says, remember these things or meditate on these things, which are beautiful, which are good, which are true, which are noble. See, there is so much goes on in our mind. And we see here, at the time, at the place of breaking of the bread, our minds gets renewed. We think upon our Lord's characters, his goodness. So the application for this, or the responsibility for us, how do we prepare for this every Sunday as we come? Do we take it light, or do we think, okay, my parents are going, so I also have to join, or I have been going since childhood, I know all those things. So as we come to worship the Lord, every time it should be a new in our lives. It should renew our spiritual lives. That's the meaning. Okay. We should come prepared. I remember I used to hear some elderly people, they used to say, when it becomes Sunday, they don't allow their children to read any books, including subjects. Even they start preparing from Saturday. Okay. They separate time. They prepare for breaking of the bread. They prepare for the worship time. So now think about, can we do that in any way? How can we do that? As families, we are really bombarded with so many priorities, so many commitments. So how can we prepare for that? I want you to think about, as an assembly, how can we make our lives surrounded by this one very important aspect of Christian lives, remembering the Lord, coming prepared. Any thoughts? I learned I have to sleep well. I have to sleep well before the day. So today we went to just drop some of the belongings, Manya, in UNC Chapel Hill. So when I went there, remembered our days, right? When we were in college, like dorms, they called dorms, we used to call hostel. Okay. Hostel is maybe an English word for you. So I was thinking, I used to play the whole night Saturday till 5 o'clock morning and go to worship meeting at 9 o'clock. What happens? At least I used to be awake, because that's the age, we are strong, something like that, but in between sleep. So we have to prepare physically also. And what else? How else we can prepare? We can stop technology for at least few hours before or getting into that mode of or searching, internet search, trying to make our minds too much active. We have to calm down. We have to step back. What else? We can sing some songs. We can sing some beautiful hymns. I did not tell our elders. I steal hymn books from here sometimes. I take. And one hymn book is there still from California. I have to tell them. So I learned as brothers and sisters are singing. Last week, I called out for one song. Okay. When I Survey the Wondrous Cross. Okay. When was it written? It was written in 1700s. And I went back. Who is this person wrote this much wonderful song? And Isaac Watts, his life. When I looked at these people's life, their commitment, what an amazing lives they have. And when I was in Belgium, I was attending worship like this. There are 25-30 people. And here are the elders. They're taking the notes and writing what we are sharing. Okay. It seems they go back and throughout the week, they refer what we have shared. And they sing those songs. See, that's the life they have lived. So their lives are completely surrounded by this man called Jesus Christ. his sacrifice, his love. When we think about these songs like, "Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful day." Okay. When we think about those songs, we may not understand, or I may not understand 20 years back, the impact that salvation had in my life. As the life is growing, as we are growing, looking back, those are the moments. Lord, thank you so much. What an amazing salvation. I cannot even imagine without your grace and loving kindness in our lives. How can we imagine our lives? Dear brothers and sisters, let's take this coming to the worship meeting priority. Families. Okay. At least on Sunday, we are at 3 o'clock. We are meeting at 3 o'clock, right? During, on Sunday from morning, getting ready. Thinking about worship meeting, Lord, giving, pouring out our hearts. So can you prepare for this? That's the challenge, especially as young people. We'd like to see you guys standing up and sharing. Our heart gives pump when you get up and share. Just a simple thing, what you have learned in the previous week, what God has taught you. A simple verse, just read and you can sit down. A great opportunity for you to stand up and see who our Lord Jesus Christ is, what he has done. So, that's the very important aspect that we have looked, institution of the Lord's Supper. Paul also mentions in 1 Corinthians, it is of primary importance, he says. Primary ordinance. So, verse 26, it says, when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. So, in this breaking of the bread, there are songs are there, as I mentioned. And what are the hymns that they have sung at that time? There is one beautiful psalm that it is mentioned, Psalm 118. Let's turn to Psalm 118 if you can do that. Psalm 118. This is the psalm during the Passover. They sing as a tradition on Psalm 118. And we see here, before Jesus being handed over, Jesus singing this song, how deep impact it might have been in Jesus and the disciples. Look at Psalm 118. He says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures. Let Israel say, his steadfast love endures forever. Let the house of Aaron say, his steadfast love endures forever. Sorry. Let those who fear the Lord say, his steadfast love endures forever." Look at the verse 5. "Out of my distress I called on the Lord. The Lord answered me and set me free. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me?" The previous night, Jesus was singing this song. The previous night of his getting to be handed over, he's singing this song. "The Lord is on my side, I will not fear. What can man do to me? The Lord is on my side, as my helper, I shall look in triumph on those who hate me." See how he is being prepared. And verse 12, "They surrounded me like bees. They went out like a fire among thorns. In the name of the Lord, I cut them off. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation." Verse 14. And even this verse, if you see, 22. "The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone." It's a very important verse. The stone that builders have rejected. And verse 23. "This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes." What is the Lord's doing? Sending Jesus Christ to the cross. That is the marvelous thing. And next verse, "This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." It's about the day when Jesus Christ surrendered before God, when he was about to go to the cross. That's the day. This is the day. That was the day Lord has made. And many Christians, they use this verse in the wedding invitations. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice. Thinking that it is for their marriage. But it is primarily about Jesus dying on the cross. Okay. Thinking of marriage and covenant. Okay. When Jesus mentioned blood of covenant, let's turn one verse. In my notes, I missed that. In Malachi, it's a very important verse. I have to cover this. Malachi chapter 2, verse 13. It's about Israelites offerings to God. And there were 13 questions mentioned in Malachi. And this is one of the things. And this second thing you do, you cover the Lord's altar with tears, with weeping and groaning, because he no longer regards the offering or accepts it with favor from your hand. But you say, why does he not? Because the Lord was witness between you and the wife of your youth, to whom you have been faithless, though she is your companion and your wife by covenant. Okay. It's very important. The covenant, he reminds here. Did he not make them one with a portion of the Spirit in their union? And what was the one God seeking? Godly offspring. So guard yourself in your spirit, and let none of you be faithless to the wife of your youth. For the man who does not love his wife but divorces her, says the Lord, the God of Israel, covers his garment with violence, says the Lord of hosts. So guard yourself in your spirit and do not be faithless. I wanted to bring out in the context of covenant. Living a faithful life. That's very important. And moving on now. About Peter's denial. Let's see. Mark 14:27. And Jesus said to them, you will all fall away, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered. But after I am raised, I will go before you to Galilee. Peter said to him, even though they all fall away, I will not. Jesus Christ's disciples, different types of behaviors, different types of traits they have. Peter, John, James. And here we see Peter's. Always he is famous for overcommitting, right? Always he overcommits. And we see that Jesus mentioning, truly I tell you, this very night, before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times. But he said emphatically, if I must die with you, I will not deny you. And they all said the same. They all said the same. But Peter coming forward. And we know the story afterwards, what happens. He denies. And Jesus looks at him. He repents. So the point that I want to mention here is, all of us have our own traits. Everyone has their own personalities, traits. But you know, God takes them and uses for his glory. Okay. So we used to study personality traits based on the scriptural different roles, or people like Peter, Paul, Moses, Abraham. What are their different personalities? So Peter being extrovert. So those were the days when we were young, right? We used to study these. Peter, Paul being extroverts. Moses, Abraham being introverts. These are the things we used to do. Okay. But here, we may differ in our personalities. But God loves us as we are. Okay. So many times in fellowships or in assemblies, personality conflicts. These are the things we have to give attention to that. Okay. So they should not come on the way of ministries. God takes us, He trains us, He molds us. He keeps our personality as it is, but He molds us, He transforms us, He renews us, and He moves us further. So the first one we looked at, the institution of Lord's Supper, and the second one, Peter denying Jesus Christ. And the third one, we see Jesus' prayer at Gethsemane. Jesus' prayer at Gethsemane. We all know this. Jesus prays three times. Lord, I cannot handle this. You know everything, God. But not my will. Let your will be done. So I have been thinking, many times we train our next generation or our people, believers, on how to study the Bible, okay, how to understand it. There are so many aspects we disciple them, but one aspect we forget, discipling them in prayer. We don't focus on that. Prayer is, it's a second aspect. It's like a secondary aspect. We don't give real importance how to pray, when to pray, what to pray. It's a it's not looked very important in our Christian lives. We can see these, nowadays they're taking this series, right? Seasons. Okay. We can see, start the season Friday evening, and we can see whole night, even weekends, we can spend hours and hours, but when it comes to prayer, it's a very less looked down aspect in our lives. And we see here, Jesus, a very important aspect of prayer in Jesus and the disciples' life. Let's read these verses 32 onwards. And they went on to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, sit here while I pray. And he took with him Peter and James and John and began to be greatly distressed and troubled. See, in prayer, greatly distressed and troubled. There are times are there where we have to go to the Lord's presence with this burden. Burden in our heart. And he said to them, my soul is very sorrowful, even to death, remain here and watch. And going a little further, he fell on the ground and prayed that, if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Remove this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will. And he came and found them sleeping, and he said to Peter, Simon, are you sleeping? Could you not watch 1 hour? Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And again he went away and prayed, saying the same words. And again he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were very heavy, and they did not know what to answer him. And he came the third time and said to them, are you still sleeping and taking care and taking your rest? It is enough. The hour has come. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand. When it is most needed in our lives, prayer, waiting upon God, watch and pray. How much important. And we see here 3 years, 3.5 years, Jesus Christ was preparing them through prayer, teaching them what to pray, how to pray. He gave them a prayer snapshot also, right? A model of prayer. And we see Jesus Christ was raising up early and spending time in prayer. Where are those days? Spending up early? You are like an old generation, hurling up wake, early means spending time in prayer. So, if we are not able to spend time in prayer, means you are not really challenged in life. Okay. You are not really understanding the enormous responsibility we have as believers. If you do not have that burden, that means you have to still go through that pain in your life. God has to teach you. He has to take you through the training. So how can we learn this prayer? How can we teach our children? I was thinking, Lord, how can we teach? There are times are there we can pray while driving the car, opening our eyes. We can pray 24 hours, but there are times are there, close the door. Okay. Get into the Lord's presence. Open our heart. Cry unto the Lord. Where are those days? Where are those days that we cried to the Lord about our relatives, our parents, or our colleagues? And we see here Jesus Christ greatly distressed and troubled, greatly distressed. When we look at this world, the distress and trouble. It's good to handle these things intellectually, asking questions. But more than that, asking God, Lord, can you please explain to me? That's the reason we read in Romans 8:26, what we read. For we do not know how we ought to pray. We don't have that skill of prayer. We don't have that how to pray, what to. Sometimes we are stuck. Even we cannot even go ahead. At least 2 minutes of prayer. Our mind is completely caught up, cluttered. So much garbage sometimes. How can we get into that life of prayer? I mentioned this in one of the prayer meetings. Epaphras, he's a person fighting in prayer, laboring in prayer. Where are those days, brothers? Where are those days, sisters? Laboring, praying, supplication, waiting upon God. At least 1 hour in a week, is it at least 1 hour? 2 hours weekend separating, keeping the phone away, just 2 hours. How can we do that? And it says here, watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. There is a very good connection between the spirit helping us, and praying. Unless the Spirit helps us, we cannot pray. Unless we are open before God, unless we confess, unless we are coming close to God, we are stuck in prayer. We cannot really enter into His presence. Watch and pray. How can we pray? What are the difficulties that we are having? How can we overcome? So, having a very good prayer list, writing prayer items, keeping a prayer journal, it's very important in our lives. There is nothing wrong if I pray for one item, open my eyes and see, and again pray. There is nothing wrong in that. You can pray opening your eyes as well. But discipline in prayer. I think we have to really learn this Western Wake Bible Chapel should be known for its prayer. How it will be great, right? Yes, we have done these things through prayer. We have solved all. We waited upon the Lord. We cried unto the Lord. He heard our prayers. And we see here, Jesus, he was asking them, can't you wait? Prayer is like a spiritual exercise. There is nothing legalism in this. Don't think that if I get up in the morning, 5 o'clock, if I put the alarm, get up and pray, oh, it's legalism. Please come out of all those ideas. It's about seeking God's face, asking God, and being watchful. We can pray for so many things. And many times, our prayers are so selfish that we are praying only for ourselves. We can pray for so many in the assembly, so many families. We can ask, is there any prayer request? We can go and reach out to them. Okay. Write down prayers. Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. So we are, as individuals, families, assembly, we have so many challenges ahead. How can we handle them? Is through prayer. Watch and pray that we may not enter into temptation. Okay. So many times entering into temptation, we think it's only personal. It's even through, as an assembly, we can enter into temptations. If one family goes away from the Lord, or if we get any, if they have done anything against the scripture, as a family, we are all, as an assembly, we all get impacted. So let's wait upon the Lord. Watch and pray that we may not enter into temptation. The spirit is indeed willing, but the flesh is weak. So are you ready for the prayer challenge? 2020, make it as a year of prayer. Make it as an year of prayer. Write down the list. Lord, speak to me. Open my eyes. Teach me. Teach me, Lord, what is prayer? So with that note, let's all pray. Let's close our eyes and ask God for strength and His grace upon us. As we heard this evening, about the importance of Lord's Supper in our lives and our personalities, how the Lord takes it and uses for His glory, and the importance of prayer in our lives. Let's look to the Lord and ask for His help. Dear loving Father, we come to You, Lord, as one person, Lord. In the assembly, all of us come together with one mind, with one accord. Lord, teach us to pray, O Lord. Teach us to pray. There are so many things we can do in this life. But Lord, help us to talk to You. Help us to reach out to You. You are our Heavenly Father. As Jesus mentioned, not my will, but Your will. As a dear Father, You know better than anything else, Lord. Lord, we come to You, Lord. We come to You like as children coming to their parents and asking, will You not teach us how to pray? Dear Father, forgive us, O Lord, many times we have not approached Your throne of grace. Lord, forgive us as individuals, as families, as an assembly. Lord, will You not revive us again? Will You not speak to us again, Lord? Lord, we commit this assembly into Your loving hands. Thank You, Lord, for helping us to navigate through and going through so many challenges this year, Lord. Dear Father, help us to make prayer as a priority in our lives. Lord, teach us. If You don't teach us, who can teach us in our lives? Truly, we confess that we do not know how to pray, how we ought to pray. We do not know, Lord. We need Your help. We are crying unto You, Lord. Will You not help us, revive us, will you not change our prayer lives? Speak to us, O Lord. Thank you for this wonderful time, for the assembly, for the families. Lord, we are able to come and worship you, Lord, breaking the bread, participating in the table. What a privilege, Lord. We never thought in our lives like this. We'll understand who God is. Lord, we offer our praises and thanksgiving, O God. Lord, we cannot even imagine our lives without your grace, without your loving kindness. Thank you, Lord. As we continue to read this book of Mark, Gospel according to Mark, Lord, revive us, strengthen us, O Lord, as an assembly, and guide us and lead us, Lord. Thank you. Bless this week and send us with all your provisions. Already you have given us your provisions, your presence you have given us with all these things. Help us to be witnesses unto you, witnesses to your loving kindness, witnesses to your goodness in our lives, Lord. Help us to speak to others this week, prayerfully reaching out our colleagues, our neighbors. Give us that attitude of prayer, Lord. Help us. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.